forget now. Good morning. I'd like to have you take your Bibles, please, and join me in the book of Luke. It's going to be a passage that ought to be familiar to you because Pastor Dave preached from it apparently last week. And so I'm not here to clarify anything. I'm not here to correct anything. I just want to use this as perhaps an application that way. And doing that, I hope that I might be a blessing to you or a great encouragement. So I'm in Luke chapter 5, going down to verse 17. And I've entitled the message today, Who Will Carry the Stretcher? If you have a pew Bible, it's 808, and again, I apologize big time because I'm using the KJV. And again, it's not because that's just my fabric. That's what I grew up with and so forth. So if you have to do mental translations, I apologize, but hopefully the Lord will still continue to use his word. Verse 17 of Luke chapter 5, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there was Pharisees and the doctor of the law sitting by, and were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought by means to bring him in, and they lay him before him, that is Jesus. Verse 19, and when they could not find what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And the Bible says, and when he, Jesus, saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this that speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts, whether it is easy to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. And he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he arose before them, and he took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. The end of our passage here, verse 26, and they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. May the Lord add to us the blessing that comes not only by as we read his word, but as we allow his word to change our hearts and lives. I'd like to ask that we bow together in prayer. And again, what I'd like to ask is that you spend a moment in prayer, please, asking that the Lord would use these next few moments. And after a short time of you praying on your own, I'll close our time by praying out loud. Let's pray together, please. Father in heaven, we ask that in the quietness of this moment that we would allow your word to have rule and reign in our hearts and lives. We thank you, Father, for the ministry of the word. We thank you, Father, for the testimony of your word through the ministry of this local church. We thank you, Father, for the faithfulness that we have given to the word of God, and I pray, Father, that you would allow us long opportunity to continue to proclaim your word here in this community. And Father, not only that, we're asking this morning that your word would have its way within our hearts, its way within our lives, and that we would choose to be obedient to what your word says. Thank you again, Father, for the testimony of Scripture. Thank you for this opportunity to share the word of God. We pray, Father, this morning for those that are in Mexico, Jonathan and Nathan, and I pray, Father, that they would as well be a blessing to our missionaries down there. And Father, we pray that you continue to give them strength and wisdom in the work that's before them this next week. Thank you again for this opportunity, and I pray, Father, as we come together, that we would apply your word to our hearts, and may we leave as challenged by your word as different people. Give us that empowerment to follow you, we pray, in Jesus' precious name, amen. I was thinking not too long ago about my graduation from seminary out in Portland, Oregon, and I asked several pastors, I said, do you remember your commencement speech that you heard upon graduation? And not a one remembered what that title was, who spoke, or things like that. I remember mine. It was called No Rust on Your Tools. And I want to tell you this morning, I got rust on my tools. I mean, I've been on vacation, and I thank the Lord for that, but I got rust on my tools because of vacation. I got rust on my tools because I've stopped being a pastor some years ago, and I just feel like I'm not in the groove that way. So I'll have to apologize for you if I seem a little bit rusty. But I want to come to the Word of God today and hopefully encourage you, and as well seek to apply this passage to your hearts and lives. I want to ask again, as that slide says in back of me, who will carry the stretcher? About 1969, in the summer of 1969, three songwriters got together to pen a song. And actually, the root of their song took place perhaps maybe 100 years prior to their coming together. A little bit of background that way. The roots of their song came from, in 1884, the Parables of Jesus, James Well, moderator of the United Free Church of Scotland, tells the story of a little girl carrying a big baby boy. Seeing her in her struggle, somebody asked if she wasn't tired. She replied with surprise, "No, he's not heavy. He's my brother." In 1918, from that experience, another man, Ralph Waldo Trine, titled The Higher Powers of Mind and Spirit. I don't know what that's about. Anyways, Trine relates the following anecdote in his book. Do you know about that incident in connection with the little Scottish girl? She was trudging along, carrying as best as she could a younger boy, and it seemed almost that boy seemed as big as she was herself. When one remarked to her how heavy he must be for her to carry, when instantly came the reply, now my family would say, Dad, don't do this. It's in Scottish. He ain't heavy. He me brother. My best attempt. Following that, the first editor of the Kiwanis magazine, a Roe Ferguson, published a column in September of 1924, carrying the title once again, "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother." The first use of that phrase exactly as it is rendered in that song title back in 69 that those three men came together to write. In the 1940s, those same words were adapted as "He Ain't Heavy, Father, He's My Brother," and was taken as a slogan for Children's Home by the founder of Father Edward Flanagan. According to Boys Town website, that phrase was used because in 1918, Father Flanagan, by one of his residents, while carrying another resident up a set of stairs, the boys being carried is said to have had polio and worn leg braces. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. I want you to think for a moment with that background, if you ever heard the words of that song. Now I know I'm dating myself, okay. 1969. But anyways, listen to the words of that song. The road is long, with many a winding turn that leads us to who knows where? Who knows where? But I'm strong, strong enough to carry him. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. So on we go. His welfare is my concern. No burden is he to bear. We'll get there. For I know he would not encumber me. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. If I'm laden at all, I'm laden with sadness, that everyone's heart isn't filled with the gladness of love for one another. It's a long, long road from which there is no return. And while we're on the way to there, why not share? And the load doesn't weigh me down at all. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. Who is going to carry the stretcher? Going back to Luke chapter 5, just very quickly through that passage, we're not necessarily going to exegete it, but I'd like to observe several things out of Luke chapter 5. In verse 18 through 26, notice in verse 18, there was an objective. The objective was, how can we get this helpless, hopeless man to Jesus? Verse 19, there was an obstacle. As we read, he was in the house, Jesus was, and the crowd was much too large. Verse 19 again, they showed some originality. I don't know that I would have thought of this, but they took the paralytic and they dropped him through the ceiling. Can you imagine? Verse 20, the Lord in their observation, and there that verse acknowledges that Jesus saw their faith. And then through verse 21 through verse 26, Jesus forgave. There was his omnipotence. And so I'm asking through that, as we think about this passage, who will carry the stretcher? Or putting it another way, how will you help your friends, your neighbors, your family members get to Jesus? As we read in the scripture, four men carried a stretcher and brought a paralytic man, a helpless man, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so with that in mind, the background of that scripture, let me ask you this question. When you came to Christ as your Savior, there were probably one or more people who helped you along the way to bring you to Jesus. In other words, I'm saying that they were instrumental and probably the Lord using them in leading you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. In a sense, using this passage, they helped to carry the stretcher. Think for a moment. Who helped to carry the stretcher that brought you to Jesus? Many times I've had opportunities, even in this church, to share a little bit of my background, my testimony, as to how I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that we will never, ever forget the day that we met Jesus. Amen? And think about those people that were instrumental, who prayed for you. In my own life, it was my mother, my dad. But I'd like to tell you just a little bit of a story. Thinking about that, I was the last of four adopted boys that came into the Kistler family. The three before me were brothers. So I was kind of outside of that. I was the non-brother. And I came along in the Kistler family probably 10 years after those three brothers. After they came in, after I came in, my mother and dad, for whatever reason, decided to continue having an impact on boys. I don't know why boys, but that was their burden. So one day I came home from junior high to discover in my bed was a three-year-old little boy. I was soon to find out that they, the state of New Jersey, found both Walter and Joe in a trash can in the city of Camden, New Jersey. Out of desperation, New Jersey would not do it this way today, but out of desperation, they needed somebody. They knew that my mom was a softie, and so they asked if my mom would take them in for at least a short period of time. It ended that my mom took them in forever. They were the first of nine other foster children that the state of New Jersey would funnel into my mom and dad. And my dad had this kind of a thing as a prerogative. If they come in, they go to our church. If they come in, they're going to be fully involved. And so Walter and Joe came in, and they were fully involved. Well, Walter and Joe grew up through the ministry of Haddon Heights Baptist. I left for college, and I kind of left my family behind that way. You know, as you do in college, you have these intermittent times that you come home. And Walter and Joe grew up and eventually got involved in drugs. And I remember one day hearing a police report that the police surrounded our house because Joe and Walter were planting pot in the backyard. My dad had died in 1970. He would not have known about that, of course, but if he did, he would have died in embarrassment because he taught us that it was important to have a great name in your community. And there the name of Kistler was going down the tubes. We came in later, my wife and I and family. My mom was not able to care for herself, and we found all these horrible stories how Walter and Joe treated her through all this. Today, Joe is a deacon in a local Baptist church, and he tells the story of the impact that my mother had upon his life. My mother was used of the Lord to carry the stretcher, to bring Joe and Walter and those nine other foster children to the Lord. With that in mind, think about it this way, kind of bring it a little bit closer to home perhaps for you. Who prayed for your salvation? Who set an example of what a Christian ought to be in your life? Who witnessed to you? And perhaps it might not have been as personal as that. Maybe it was somebody on TV or in the radio. But count it as a fact. If you are saved today, somebody the Lord used in your life to help you to the Lord, they were carrying the stretcher. And likewise, if you are saved today, if I could put it this way, Jesus wants you to carry the stretcher so that others will come to know him. Think of it. Where would you be today if somebody didn't pray for you? Where would you be today if somebody did not witness to you? Where would you be today if somebody did not live the life of Christ before you? Someone carried the stretcher. We're reminded in Scripture, of course. Carrying the stretcher involves, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Carrying the stretcher involves, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Do you remember what Jesus said to those who wanted to be a disciple? He told them, if you want to follow me, you need to count the cost. You see, that is what we are to consider. That's what our requirement is to be a disciple. So my question again this morning is, as you carry the stretcher, if you're willing, who will carry that stretcher? There will be a cost. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 says it this way, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send, and who will go for us? And Isaiah, out of seeing a holy God, said, then said I, here am I, send me. And I pray that as you consider that question, yes, Lord, I'll help carry the cross. I'll help to bring people to Christ. I want for you as well to consider what that involves as you count the cost. Several things, please. Note them. Number one thing, please. I believe in order to carry the stretcher, if you're willing to do that, number one, it takes compassion to carry the stretcher. Note the words of verse 18. And behold, men brought a man which was taken in palsy, and they sought means by which to bring him in and to lay him before the Lord. What that verse reminds us of is these men brought a sick man, a man unable to help himself, to Jesus. And the reason they did that is because they cared. Amen? Oh, boy, did you have your coffee this morning? Amen. They cared. They had a compassion on a man who could not help themselves. I think, honestly, in our day and age, we are living in a time when Christians have lost our compassion for the lost. Or perhaps we never even had it. I don't think that we really care that people without Christ that are dying, without Christ, they're going to hell. Every child, and again, I'm not talking about the age of accountability, but without the Lord, going to hell. Your parents, without the Lord, going to hell. Your neighbor, whatever the Lord has brought into your life, if they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, John 3:36 says, they're condemned already. Perhaps one of the saddest things that happened to me as a pastor is one of my men involved in our church, his mother died. And he came to me and said, Pastor, she never knew the Lord. He understood the harsh reality that perhaps, unless the Lord intervened, and that's our promise, that's our hope, that unless the Lord intervened somehow in a way that he didn't know, his mom was in hell. Take your Bibles just for a moment, keeping your finger there in Luke chapter 5 to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Note with me, and I saw, verse 11, a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whom the face, the earth, and the heavens fled away, for there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, and it was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of it, and those things which were written in the books according to the works. And the sea gave up the dead and they which were in it, and the dead in hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Back in the 70s, there was a Christian song that I've not heard much, but I remember upon the first time I heard it really grit me. Let me share the words of that song. Let me see this world, dear Lord, as though I were looking through your eyes. A world of men who don't want you, Lord, but a world for which you died. Let me kneel with you in the garden, blur my eyes with tears of agony. For if once I could see this world the way you see, I just know I serve you more faithfully. Let me see this world, dear Lord, through your eyes when men mocked your holy name, when they beat you and spat upon you. Let me love them as you love them just the same. Let me stand high above my petty problems and grieve for men hell-bound eternally. For if once I could see the world the way you see, I just know I serve you more faithfully. In order to carry the stretcher, it takes compassion. I pray the Lord would break our hearts this morning for those who do not know him. And may we plead with God to somehow give us avenues of ministry to get on that stretcher and be used of the Lord to bring that person to Jesus Christ. Second thing, it takes time to carry the stretcher. You know, I just don't have time for this. My dad used to tell me, and I'm not sure what it meant, but he used to say, Jeff, you need to make the best use of your time. I don't know if I've ever done that. In our story, you understand the men donated their time to bring this sick man, this helpless man, to Jesus. And if you think about it, everything we do takes time. Work takes time. Pleasure takes time. Eating takes time. Church takes time. Prayer and reading the Bible takes time. Carrying the stretcher takes time. Bringing someone to Jesus takes time. The Bible says of that, Colossians, walk in wisdom to them that are without, redeeming the time. Ephesians says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as wise, fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord says, or what the will of the Lord is. Folks, one of the reasons why I don't think we have people carrying the stretcher is because we don't want to spend the time. Think of it. It takes time to develop a friendship. It takes time to develop a relationship so that people will be receptive to the gospel. And I think, I am convinced that most people are more receptive to the gospel if they see someone living the life of Christ in front of that, but that takes time. We can't live the Christian faith. We can't be an example in front of people unless we spend time with them. It takes time to be available when a person has needs. It takes time to pray for that person's salvation. It takes time to share the gospel. But I want to ask you, as you're reminded of that, it takes time if you would be doing something else. But how much time have you given over to the Lord in carrying that stretcher with someone on it, taking them to Jesus? It takes time. Notice well in the passage in front of us, it takes persistent effort. These four men, as you already heard the story as we read through it, came to where Jesus was. And I can't even imagine this, but they discovered that due to the crowds and location of Jesus, that between them and there was not going to be an easy task. They had to be persistent to get that man to Jesus. Can I as well suggest to you that there are some people, sometimes children, sometimes older individuals, perhaps hearing the gospel once and they're saved. Fantastic. But there are other times who require, people who require persistent efforts on our part to be one to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm tired of people saying, well, I share the gospel. It's up to them now. It takes persistent effort. Make no mistake. I fully believe that the Spirit of God still convicts and still saves. No doubt about it. Make no mistake, though. I believe that we need to be more persistent about bringing people to Jesus. It takes persistent effort. Notice well, verse 19, when they could not find by which way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went down upon the housetop. I'm sorry, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And I'm suggesting as well, creative effort or creativity to carry the stretcher. Note here, they couldn't get to see Jesus, so they got creative. Who would have thunk? They decided to go find some way to get this man, so they went to the housetop, pulled away whatever that was there, and lowered that man down before the Lord Jesus Christ. That's creativity. Folks, let me as well remind you, the gospel never changes. Amen? You didn't have that cup of coffee yet. Amen. It never changes. But the means of the gospel, the message of salvation, while always the same, the methods do change. Let me give you a little bit of an example that way. Daily Vacation Bible School, or as my wife tells me, I somehow got into practice with calling it DVBS. She goes, it's VBS. VBS came about in 1884. And it was 5 weeks during the summer. Can you imagine? And that slowly grew. Some churches would have Vacation Bible School over the summertime, using that as an opportunity. And sometimes crowds in churches became like 500 kids. They're coming our way. No, not really. But that's a recent innovation. When I was growing up, there was something called, I don't know if the was ever here, evening worship. whatever became. And when I was growing up, evening service was a time that you used for evangelism. Then when I got in ministry, evening service was more so for Bible study. The morning service was more evangelistic. What I'm saying through all that, there's not a right or wrong as to what we do, but methods do change while the gospel is always the same. And what I'm saying is sometimes we need to be creative in getting the gospel out. Amen? Sometimes we need to just understand the times in which we live. I want to suggest to you that maybe in this day and age to reach the next generation, we need to be very creative in how to take that gospel message to others. It may be that we need to be creative to carry the stretcher. Verse 20, I love this verse. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, Pastor Dave might have talked about that, but note there in that verse, when he saw their faith, he said unto him, the man, thy sins are forgiven thee. We're not going to explore that except to say this. It takes faith to carry the stretcher. Think about it. Jesus responded to the faith of the man who brought the sick man to Jesus. And it doesn't say when he saw the man's faith. It says when he saw their faith, the ones who were carrying the stretcher. What I'm saying is carrying the stretcher means having faith that Jesus can do something. That's the faith that they had. Let me bring it down to this. Faith is understanding that bringing people to Jesus is important. Do you have that faith? Faith that bringing people to Jesus is God's will. Do you have that faith? Faith is that bringing people to Jesus is a heaven or hell issue. Do you have that faith? Faith that bringing people to Jesus is worth the effort. Do you have that faith? Faith that bringing people to Jesus pleases God. Do you have that faith? Faith that bringing people to Jesus helps them eternally so. Do you have that faith? It takes faith to carry the stretcher. Next, it takes prayer to carry the stretcher. Where do we find prayer in this passage? I'm telling you this, that when men in our story lowered the stretcher of that man down in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was a form of prayer. In a sense, they were saying, here he is, Lord, please heal him. And for some reason, God honors the prayer of his people when it comes to saving people. This, I think, ought to be our prayer for Vacation Bible School. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. 1 John 5 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that if we have the petitions that we desire of him. So what I'm saying through those verses, if it is God's will that people be saved, shouldn't we be more zealous in praying for their salvation? God chooses to accomplish his work in answer to our prayer. And I would suggest that we better get busy in praying. It takes prayer. Next point, we don't want to hear this, but it might take money to carry the stretcher. Now, again, I'm reading into the text. It might not have cost any money to fix that roof, but I have a feeling that those men either paid for fixing or did the fixing of the roof on their own. You know, while we don't like talking about money, Jesus does. He talks about investing money in his work, God's work. And often understand that when we invest money in God's work, we're investing in souls. That's what it's all about. Matthew 6, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Are you willing to spend the money to carry the stretcher? Lastly, it might take criticism to carry the stretcher. Think about it. According to the text that we read in Luke chapter 5, do you think everybody was happy with these men? I mean, in the text, the Pharisees and the doctors of the law, I think, were highly critical. I don't think they were happy. But understand, whenever we bring people to the Lord, whenever we witness, you may be criticized. Have you ever been called on being narrow-minded? Have you ever heard somebody complaining because you wanted to convert people to your own religion? Have you ever heard people telling you ought to mind your own business? Have you ever heard people saying you're far too religious? Let me suggest to you, it's better to be criticized than to be silent. In the text before us, four men carried the stretcher to bring a man to Jesus. This morning, using this text, I wonder, are you willing to carry the stretcher to bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ? And remember, there's going to be a cost. It takes compassion. It takes time. It takes persistent effort. It takes creativity. It takes faith. It takes prayer. It may take money. It may take criticism. But are you willing to pay the price to carry the stretcher? The road is long, with many a winding turn that leads us who knows where, but I'm strong with the Lord's help, strong enough with his enablement to carry him. And may we realize with the Lord's help, he's not going to be heavy. But hopefully, with our endeavors, he'll be my brother. Shall we pray together? Father in heaven, thank you for our time today in the Word of God. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would have in our company here those willing to carry the stretcher to bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for those that have been faithful in my life, so that a child of 8 would humbly by faith trust Jesus Christ. Father, no doubt there's many people here that would be thankful for all the people that you brought in their lives who were willing to carry the stretcher. And I pray, Father, that our church would be full of people doing whatever it takes to carry the stretcher so that others would come to know Jesus Christ. This we ask in Jesus' precious name.